Hello, and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. My name is LaDonna Evans Duhart, and in this show, we're going to talk about aligning the system design lifecycle of a project or the delivery of any item with some level of a security policy. To learn more about me and my background, be sure to check out my profile at GoGo. If you have any questions or comments, or you want to ask me a question, please use the question and comment box below. All right, let's go ahead and get started. Again, we're going to look at aligning the system design lifecycle with a security policy. For the most part, in many of the courses that I've taught, I get a lot of people who quickly coin phrases such as, you know, once I go ahead and deliver an application, or once I roll out a technology, or once I install a new piece of hardware, then we go and look at the whole concept of, you know, evaluating the security or baselining the environment and paying attention to, security at that point is where this particular module is going to play a gigantic role. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at some of the common life cycles that different guidelines provide, so that we can look at, you know, where does security play a role? At what point do we start evaluating security? At what point do we, you know, stop evaluating security, or if we even stop at all? So again, let's look at the life cycle phases, starting with the initiation phase. When we look at the initiation phase of the delivery of any type of product, this is the point in which someone is going to generate a business case saying, here's an opportunity to deliver product ABC. So let's say that we're going to go ahead and roll out a brand new server with a, you know, operating system on it to perform a particular task. At the point that we identify that this is an opportunity and this is something we want to do, then that is where we define or go through the processes that are required in the initiation phase. So when you consider the fact that, okay, we want to do this, we want to deliver this server with this new operating system, we want to do this. So someone is going to generate a business case, take it to management, and determine if at all, you know, if this is something that we can do. At this point, when I consider the fact that, you know, yeah, I want to, you know, bring this new server on board for this particular task, at this point is where I need to start considering security. At this point, even if I'm not sure of what levels or what realm of security risk exists or what vulnerabilities are out there, and at this point in the phase, you know, you may not know all of the vulnerabilities. You may not know how you're going to categorize impact risk and things of that nature. But at that point is where you need to know something new is coming on board. Let's start taking security into consideration, or let's start at least moving in the direction to start thinking, okay, we need to get ready for a new section in our what? Security plan, so that we can start getting ready to work with this implementation team to make this happen from the beginning stages of the life cycle out to the end on into maintenance. Okay, let's look at the next phase. Let's look at the planning phase. At this point, this is where we're going to start to look at planning what you want as a result of this new system. It'll include, security features, or some of the security features you think you're going to need or need to consider. And we need to look at, well, what security policies do we need to start taking into consideration? Now, at this point, it's where you need to, one, have already pulled out your security plan. Now, for the most part, for an organization that has a security plan, this is where you pull out that big binder or binders, and from there, look at if there were any other security plans or security controls that exist or were created during the existence or during the process of rolling out a server or a similar installation. And from there, look to see if there are any similarities there. What did they take into consideration that I may need to, you know, be concerned with? So let's start looking at what exists. But now, in some cases, you have organizations that don't have anything. So at that point, they're kind of going through this in what would look like a haphazard fashion, but it's not a bad idea for you to start somewhere. So in the event that this is something new for you, there are many guidelines out there for you to follow so that you can look at some of the ideal things to take into consideration, some of the ideal items to look at, so that when there's some idiosyncrasies that occur during the design phase, or if there's something weird going on wrong during the purchasing phases or the installation phases or during the testing phases, that you document those and how to identify those and who needs to be involved in that process. So again, generating the security policy is a drawn out process. So this is nothing that you can expect to do overnight. Again, you need a team of people from a variety of different departments and units in the organization. Okay, so let's move forward to the design phase. Let's look at this. Here in the design phase, this is where we're going to put the beginning pieces of the plan together. This is where we're going to look at, okay, do we want to generate a mock? Do we want to generate a sample environment or prototype where we take a similar piece of equipment and we're going to go through the process? Again, we're going to go through this process of generating, you know, the design requirements. And from there, we're going to take existing security policy requirements, existing security controls that you know apply to this particular situation, and move on through the process to determine that you are sure, that you are secure in this particular window, you know, of time of the implementation or the design phase of this particular rollout. So again, it's not a bad idea. It is actually a requirement to go and look at security controls. There may be controls that you need to be using while you're going through this particular phase. So again, when you consider the fact that, okay, we're going to go with a server by IBM or a server by Dell. We need to even go as far as looking at, okay, since we chose this particular piece of equipment, let's go and see if there are any known vulnerabilities with this operating system on this particular box. If there are any known threats that are out there. So again, even in your policy, you should have a list of the known threats. You should have a list of common vulnerabilities because of the OS that you have on the machine, or because of you know, whatever could happen with this particular piece of equipment. But again, if this is the first time you chose this equipment, or the first time that you chose this operating system, then you need to generate security controls as you go along if you need to. Do not feel like you cannot generate a control along the way. So again, that's the reason why you need to be dealing with people who are in that whole security auditing area, so that they can look at, this is going to present a risk. This is going to do X, Y, and Z. We need a control for this or that, and then put that in your security policy. So let's look at the development phase. Here, you're typically in like the midway area. You need to look at what is going to, you know, what do you need to put together to make this a fully operational system when the server comes up. So again, in that particular area, you need to look at, do I need to implement any kind of operating system specific policies? Do I need to not have this device in, plugged up to the network or plugged up to the infrastructure when and get gaining internet access while I'm doing the install or while I'm doing a reboot or whatever the situation may be? All areas should be included, and you need to be including the existing controls and policies while you are doing this, because there are things that may need to be considered that will prevent you from being placed at risk or prevent you from dealing with any type of vulnerabilities. Okay, let's look at the testing phase. Okay, so this is where we're going to look at, okay, let's review what we have, or let's look at, you know, what we are trying to do. Let's kind of review this whole process. Let's test this out. So let's say we have a pilot. So let's say we have a sample server, a sample OS installed on it. Let's say we have our antivirus software installed on it. Let's kind of run some tests and see what this box can actually deal with. Let's look at the state that is in. Let's see if we see any vulnerabilities for the most part. Are there any threats? Are there any known threats? Let's kind of take a snapshot of this situation. Okay, this is where we need to try and look at the results of me have gone through, you know, a lockdown of any kind of issues within the registry, any kind of known issues because of the software packages that I've installed on the machine. Again, here you want to thoroughly do a test. Now, while doing this test, And if you have a security policy with other controls out there, other controls could have been created while in this particular phase, so you need to look at, well, what happened when a similar server install was deployed, and in the testing phase, what did you notice? Or what kind of things should be looked at? So again, you want to always carry that security set of security sets or document sets that deal with security controls with you throughout all of this, the phases of the system design lifecycle. Let's look at the actual implementation phase. This is where we begin to install the new product. We need to take into consideration, again, security. When we're in a live environment and we're trying to bring that new system up, we may be in a situation where we have the old up and the new up. So we're going to run them simultaneously just in case we have any problems. So again, we have some level of fault tolerance. So we need to look at, what do we do in this situation? Again, look at those controls. Look at that policy. What happens during the implementation phase? So you don't have to guess if you don't have to. I mean, you may need to make some educated decisions or jump out there and just, you know, make a decision on something. But again, if it caused you to have to go download a patch or go figure out why this happened or what the answer to this particular question was, these are items that need to be placed in that security security plan as a security control. So again, the control is going to help you from becoming vulnerable to a risky situation. Okay, the next step is going to be your maintenance phase. This is where we maintain and again review, very similar to your testing phase, but this is what we're going to look at. Okay, so since we've delivered this product, since we have this server up, since the operating system, antivirus, any kind of lockdown, any kind of policies were enabled here, let's look at what this device can take. Let's look at this. There may be a particular system of applications that you run against the server to determine, you know, if the hard drive is good, if memory is going to have any, you know, issues, if there's going to be any kind of buffer, known buffer overflow issues or anything like that in the code. This is where you can go ahead and kind of test this out and just look at it and make sure everything is okay. So again, during your review of a template of typical install and awareness of some of the known things that you could have run into based on somebody else's experience, you can go ahead and use that security policy along with everything you do. Again, our goal here is not trying to leave us in a situation where we're just doing a install just right off the hip and from there, you know, generating controls or generating security controls as you go. If there's some documentation already in place, evaluate it. Because there may be just one piece, two or three sentences that made the difference between, you know, giving you a gray hair or not giving you one. So again, it's best to align that with the process. And then last but not least, we have our disposal phase. So let's say you're in a situation where you're about to get rid of the old and just allow the new server to run, you know, in place since it's in good shape. We need to look at, well, once we dispose of this server, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to use it within the organization? And there should be a set of rules to talk about how do you deploy it somewhere else. Or are you going to donate the hardware? Are you going to throw it out? You need to consider what's on that hard drive. What has been saved somewhere. You need to consider the configuration files that were needed for this particular device and how we deal with the configuration of it. So again, do we do one last backup? What is the recommendation? Your security plan should outline the steps you should take in order to take a device and dispose of it. I mean, in many cases, we talk about people who are outside in the garbage cans looking for old equipment that you can use somewhere else. I mean, in some cases, somebody might take a machine and, you know, delete the partitions off the hard drive and never think twice about it. But then in other cases, you may have people who are looking to pull those machines out of the garbage can or trash can and go and see what's on that hard drive. They're going to try and take utilities to try and undelete those partitions and try and evaluate the data that was actually stored on that machine. So we need to take all of that into consideration. So again, we need to look at, what does that policy say? Is there a course of action in the policy that says we need to degauss the hard drive? or we need to take the hard drive out and then dispose of the equipment. So again, whatever the situation is, whatever your company has agreed on doing, you need to go ahead and review that. Then that way there's no question. No one can hold you liable as a system administrator or a project manager where you haven't taken into consideration the appropriate way to tell an engineer or a system admin what they should do with the equipment after you are ready to dispose of the hardware. So again, the question is how do we align the system design lifecycle along with existing security policies? It's one thing to not have a policy. Then you're kind of, shooting off the hip. But then what happens when you do have a policy and you have that foundation there? Again, before the project manager pulls a team together to try and deliver this new product, we need to understand that, okay, one, we have a security policy in place or a set of policies in place. And from there, we're going to go and grab the security policy. We may get an auditor. We may get someone who can help us decipher what's in these policies or what's in the actual controls and at what point we use those. So you may not have the exact person who went through, each one of these different areas or these different policies. But again, you should have something that you can understand, someone who you can speak to help you verify. What did you mean by degaussing a hard drive along with doing XYZ with the hard drive? What do we mean by setting a password policy and also integrating that with access cards? So again, you need to understand all of the aspects of it so that you are in a situation where you are not placing an organization at risk and making yourself liable. So again, we can take that policy and utilize it throughout the entire SDLC. We don't want to be in a situation where after we're finished with the disposal phase, now we're going to go back and look at security. Or look at security at the beginning of the phase to make sure that this IBM server or this Dell server is the best piece of equipment to use. And then never look at security again until the end. Again, you want to take this policy and utilize it across every area or every phase of the life cycle of delivering a product. Now, you may not follow a particular industry standard. You may have a customized life cycle, your set of phases that you use. So that's why I list a variety of them here. Many times people may only follow 4 or 5 of these steps, and they have responsibilities that span across all of the ones that I talked about here. So again, just look at what model you have to work with. If later on you decide, well, wait a minute, we shouldn't have a testing phase and a maintenance phase, maybe we can take into consideration testing, implementation, and then maybe maintenance, and then disposal. So again, you may not have all the standardized terms or phases that I used here, because some of those responsibilities may span across a few of these different phases. So again, the model you have, follow it. If you need to add controls, don't hesitate. If you have concerns about understanding a particular area, in the phase, question it. You should have people there that are going to help you deal with successfully making it through each one of these phases in a successful fashion so that you can deliver this product or deliver this server with this operating system and not place the organization at risk. I hope you enjoyed today's presentation. If you have any questions or comments, please use the question comment box below. If you are interested in reviewing my other slides, just search the GoGo Radio Archives for LaDonna Evans Duhart. If there is a show you would like me to do, please feel free to send me an email and let me know. I'm open. I'm completely open for other courses. Thank you for your time today, and remember to tune in to GoGo Radio, found exclusively at GoGo.com. You have a great day.